In his Sermon on the Mount, our Lord has given the high and the difficult ethics of his kingdom. What do the disciples of Jesus Christ look like? What do the disciples of Jesus Christ think like? How do they act? What Jesus teaches us in this sermon is that a true disciple is one who has internalized God's commandments. Obedience to God is not just keeping them outwardly and publicly, but a disciple keeps them inwardly. That is, a true disciple of Jesus Christ has a heart that desires to obey and to follow Jesus Christ and to keep his commandments. He not only loves his neighbor and those who love him, but he loves even his enemies as well. He seeks to do good even to those that do him harm. He does good works not to be seen and praised of others, but to be seen and praised of God. Because a disciple loves God above all else, with all of his heart. And he loves his neighbor, even as he loves himself. A disciple works and lives not to build his own kingdom, his own house, but to build Christ's kingdom and to lay up in heaven a treasure for eternity. He does not live by sight, depending upon his own abilities, but rather walks by faith, trusting the Lord to provide and care for his needs. A disciple of Christ does not have a judgmental or critical spirit toward others. Instead, is concerned about his own shortcomings, his own sins, his own failures before God, and seeks to remove them from his own life. True disciple, true citizen of the kingdom, does not run with the crowd, does not pursue the things of the world, does not desire the praise and the adulation and the approval of the ungodly, but rather the disciple takes the quiet way, the narrow way, the way of the cross, the way of self-denial, the way of obedience to Christ, the way, Jesus says, that leads to life. Now Christ concludes his teaching with a call for decision. He talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. We looked at that last week, or the week before. And then he uses an illustration to picture these two choices, these two ways. The wise choice of obedience to Christ, or the foolish choice of following your own wisdom. Now Jesus pictures two men who were very similar. They both had a need to build a house. They desired shelter from the cold and the storms of life. They both built their homes apparently in the same locality, maybe even the same building development. Jesus tells us the same storm hit both houses. Same flood beat upon them both. They apparently even like the same kind of house. The indication is these are identical buildings. Maybe they use the same blueprint. Clearly, however, Jesus is illustrating spiritual things. Christ has just warned of false prophets that lead astray. False professors who are self-deceived. And he's described the broad way, the popular way. The road that's crowded. But the road that leads to destruction. And now he uses a building project of two similar houses. You see, we're all building. We're all building our lives. We're all concerned about the storms of life and the judgment day when we will all face a holy God. In face of these uncertain events, we all seek to build lives that will provide security, safety, and protection against those storms. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 12, uses somewhat similar imagery, only in reverse. He says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, and of course, the foundation is Christ. And he's talking to believers. If you build with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's works will become clear. For the day, that is the day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved. Yet so is through fire. As Jesus describes them, these two houses seem to be the same. As you walk by, you might not notice any difference between them. Maybe the same architect. Maybe the same builder constructed them both. But the fact is that there's a hidden and a critical difference between these two houses. One builder has taken the time, the energy, and the expense to dig down to bedrock. Jesus uses the word Petra. But the other didn't want to spend the extra money, didn't want to spend the extra time. Instead, just hurriedly built his house upon the sand. And yet, looking upon the finished homes, a passerby doesn't notice any difference between them. But there is a difference. The wise man thoughtfully took more time to build. And to the world, as they watch our lives, as they watch our families and watch us live, much about us seems to be wasted time, wasted energy, just like the wise man taking the time and energy to build a foundation upon the rock. The world sees us so much time in church on Sunday, so much time worshiping God when you could be sleeping in and maybe going camping or picnicking. You give to the church, even tithing. And yet, the world sees such a need for that money to balance the family's budget. And then you spend time reading and studying ancient religion, old scriptures, when you could be enjoying family and friends. You spend time being good when you could be having fun. Spiritually, if you examine these two builders, at least casually, they might even appear the same. You might find they are both sincerely religious, maybe even theologically orthodox, moral, givers to the Lord's work, even upstanding and respected citizens. But there was a difference between these two houses. And when the rains came, and the floodwaters rose, and the winds started to blow fiercely, that difference was seen in the consequences. Along Lake Erie in Ohio, there are places where homes are built along the shore of the lake. There are kind of bluffs and cliffs in places, and they build houses right on these edges overlooking the lake. And yet storms and waves regularly come upon Lake Erie and beat upon the shore and the cliffs, and gradually undermining the cliffs and gradually washing away the sand and gradually dumping one house after another into the lake. Jesus says that's what's happening to the foolish man's house. The sand upon which it was built is washed away from under it by the storms of life, and there's no foundation, and the house collapses. But the wise man, the man who seemed to be so foolish and overly cautious, had built his house upon a more secure foundation, digging down to the rock, Christ. And when the storm hit and the waters beat against it, they had no effect upon the rock. And the house of the wise man stood firm. Jesus' imagery is so clear. The wise man who had built his house upon the rock is the one who builds upon the rock, Christ Jesus. The one who hears Christ's words, he says, and does them, acts upon them. The one who quietly, faithfully follows Christ. Jesus talks about the rain and the flood and the wind. We could understand these storms in two ways. The first is that they refer to the storms of life, the hardships, the disappointments, the trials, the sickness, the failures that sooner or later come upon every one of us. And those who have built their lives upon the shifting sands of worldly fads and customs and values, those who have lived for the moment, who have built their lives upon false religions and false teachers, who've lived with no thought of God or eternity, they will find that their houses will not stand. And they will come to disaster and ruin. We see signs of this all around us. We see increase in depression, in dysfunction, in divorce, as lives disintegrate under the storms of life. Did you know that suicides have dramatically increased? They now are the 10th leading cause of death in America. Just this week, two high-profile people killed themselves. People who, from the world's perspective, had it all. Anthony Bourdain, 61, a famous and successful chef. He had it all from the world's perspective. Money, travel, a TV show, good food. The high life. Kate Spade, 55. Famous designer, living well, exciting life. And yet, in spite of all that they had, they could not handle the storms of life. And without thought of eternity, they took their own lives. We're all aware of the problem with teens today. Suicide is a leading cause of death among the teenagers, older teenagers to age 24. Of course, they've been taught a godless view of life by politicians, by teachers at school, by Hollywood, the media. And so they have no foundation for the storms of life and are turning to suicide in increasing numbers. Those building upon the sand are not prepared for life's storms, and their lives often crumble like the house of a fool. On the other hand, those who are built upon Christ, upon His Word, will experience the same storms, the same trials, the same failures, but will bear them trusting God. I'm not suggesting that true Christians never commit suicide, never fall into despair and discouragement, never mishandle life, or are overcome by adversity. But those who are confident in the love and the sovereignty of God, who are committed to obedience to Jesus Christ and walking in faith, will come through those storms. And they will come through them more like Christ, stronger in faith and stronger in character. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, even rejoice in God's goodness. But there's another, even greater storm coming. It's the day of judgment. A day when every person will stand before the righteous, holy God. What the scripture calls the judgment seat of Christ. And at that judgment seat, everyone will give an answer for their lives. The text indicates that both men, the foolish man and the wise man, had heard the words of Christ. The wise man heeded Christ. The foolish man did not. One built his house upon the bedrock of Christ, His Word, in obedience to it. The other built his house upon his own speculation, the world's wisdom, the world's values. But only one of those will stand in the day of judgment. There are those today who insist that there are many truths. There are many ways to heaven, many ways to happiness, many ways to God, however you imagine it. There are false prophets, as we saw last week. There are sincere followers of Muhammad and Buddha and others. And they're all building their eternal houses upon various philosophies and their own works and efforts. And they believe they will hold up in the storms of life and in the day of judgment. Some people actually build pretty nice houses too. They're glamorous. They're good neighbors. Good co-workers. They're moral and honest and loving and kind and generous. Gracious people. Some are smart and they can articulate so well the brilliance of the way upon which they are walking. Some even do very well in this life. Even in the storms of this life, stoically dealing with the storms. But Jesus says in the day of judgment, their houses will not stand. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. As Jesus put it, unless you all repent, you will likewise perish. The psalmist says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. There is only one gate. There is only one way, one Lord, one foundation. There is only one way that will see you through the day of judgment. And that gate, that foundation, is Jesus Christ. All the other religions of the world, no matter how sincere or good or upright those people might be, all the other ways to God are houses built upon sand. And Jesus is saying it is foolish to think that they will stand in the day of judgment. They will fall. And Jesus says, great was its fall. Speaking of the judgment, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus warned, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him, that is God, who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Eternal judgment, the lake of fire, is a thing to be feared. And the omnipotent God who can send you there, who is, the scripture says, a consuming fire, is a God to be feared as well. Yet Jesus says a God to be obeyed and served and loved. There's another warning in Jesus' words. It's a warning to you who follow Christ. For those who have heard the gospel, who've listened to Christ's teaching, who know you are sinners in need of salvation. Because even though your faith is in Christ, you can still build upon things other than the rock. You can build upon sand. Jesus is warning of hearing God's word. Yes, God's word is true. Yes, the words of Jesus are wise, and then proceeding to live by your own wisdom, following the world and the ways of the ungodly. Jesus is warning hearers of building a house as beautiful as a Christian can build it, that's from all appearances living like a Christian, being a Christian, but all the while building upon the wrong foundation. One that will bring calamity in the day of judgment. A day when every idle word will be judged. Jesus' words are also a warning to false professors. Ones who are not really in Christ, but think they are. Who give a convincing profession of faith, a testimony, appear to be Christians, know the Bible, know the catechism, attend church. And yet, as the proverb warns, there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, and yet is not washed from its filthiness. These two have built their house upon sand, not truly trusting in Christ, not truly repentant of sin, not seeking to obey Christ as King and as Lord, as Master. Jesus is warning us to examine our lives, to see if we are true disciples, or are we mere professors? Do you note that Jesus doesn't say the issue is one of knowledge? The issue and the concern of Christ is not how much truth you know and understand. Do you truly embrace the Orthodox faith? You truly embrace the Westminster standards? It's not a question of knowing the truth. As important as that is, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? In John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. James put it this way, he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And in 1 John 2:15, the Apostle John warns, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, abides forever. Because the wise man, the true believer in Jesus Christ, the true Christian, builds his house, builds his hope, builds his life upon the rock, upon Christ Jesus. He not only hears God's word, but he heeds the word. He does it. He obeys. He doesn't just know the truth and profess orthodoxy, but he walks in that truth. Or again, as John puts it in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Are you living your life by the principles, the instructions of Christ's Sermon on the Mount? Are you building your life upon sand or upon the rock, Christ Jesus? Are you building in preparation of that final storm, the judgment seat of God? Because Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Shall we pray?